Nightlife Travel.
Monday Night Travel, and tonight we're off to Carnarvon Gorge National Park in central Queensland. With its white cliffs and breathtaking amphitheatre, it's considered one of the Sunshine State's most stunning natural beauties. It's also home to a thriving platypus population and thousands of stenciled and engraved Aboriginal artworks. Travel writer Hannah James has been there and written about it in the latest edition of the Australian Geographic, and she joins us this evening. Hannah, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you.
Just put Carnarvon Gorge on the map for us, Hannah. Where is it and how do you get there?
Well, from Rockhampton, it's a 5 or 6 hour drive. It's about 350, 400 kilometres from Rockhampton inland.
Okay, so it's
a long drive.
It's a fair drive. You can't fly there.
No, unless you've got a private plane, I think. But yeah, it's quite a way from the coast.
Okay, so we pick up a car, 4 or 5 hour drive. Mm. How would you describe it?
It's really quite surprising. It's one of those gorges that, you know, the land around is quite dry, lots of cattle, pretty bare, sort of dry golden grass, golden brown grass. And then you go down into Carnarvon Gorge. When you get to the visitor's centre, you cross this beautiful river across some stepping stones.
What's there? There's no town nearby, is there?
No. There's really nothing. So you've got to be self-sufficient or stay at one of the campsites or places nearby that can cater for you. But yeah, there's nothing much around and there's no phone reception, so you've got to be pretty self-sufficient.
The place is famous for its indigenous artwork too, isn't it? Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, it's been dated to around 3,500 years old. So it was created by the local people who are the Bidjara and the Caringbal people. Mm-hmm. And it's obviously a very sacred place. So there's lots of symbols, hands, animal tracks, nets indicating that there were burial sites nearby, symbols indicating that it was a fertility site. So it's really sacred and really beautiful.
Are there people there to interpret that for you?
There aren't. There's signs. Mm. You can take a tour. Right. There are places that offer guides. But mainly you can just walk along these lovely boardwalks and just enjoy it.
Mm. Okay. The landscape is very diverse, isn't it? I mean, white cliffs, river crossings, there's a volcanic peak. Mm. So the go here is what we're walking, are we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long's a typical visit?
Well, a lot of people just go for the day. A lot of people stay nearby and go in several times.
Because if it's a 4 or 5 hour drive, you really need to camp overnight.
You do. You can stay. There's places to stay there. But yeah, what we did was we did the 87-kilometre Great Walk. So obviously that's a few days.
That's a few days.
Yeah, it's 6 days. But what a lot of people do and what's really beautiful to do is if you do want to camp, you walk 10 kilometres along the accessible part of the gorge. You get to visit all these sites, the Moss Garden, which is beautiful, these Aboriginal art sites. And then you can camp at the end of the gorge, which is 10 kilometres in at a campsite called Big Bend Campsite. Mm. Obviously a big bend in the river. Mm. And it's really beautiful, these high cliffs towering up above you and you're in a little wooded grove. And then you can walk back out the next day.
Mm. Okay, for those keen on doing the big one, the Carnarvon Great Walk, well, it's a 6 day walk.
It is.
And can you do it by yourself?
You can, yes. Yeah. And we did. I did it with a photographer for Australian Geographic. Mm. And day two is the killer because you've been walking along this beautiful gorge, and then day two, you've got to get up. Uh-huh. And when I say up, up. It's a brutal climb and you've obviously got a big backpack on.
So you've got to take a pack with all your food and water and
that's
everything.
That's it. Yeah. Not water for the whole 6 days because there's designated campsites that you are encouraged to camp in and there is water there.
But you've got to take food for that. So it's a real bushwalker's adventure.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Mm. It is an adventure. It's beautiful. Once you're up out of the gorge, it is a little bit plainer. You know, it is the grassland. It is that sort of brown gold grass. But it's still beautiful, you know. It's still, you're really out back and there's a lot of history and, it's a wonderful place to be.
Okay. I guess it's going to be hot. Is there a best time of the year to do it?
Well, we did it early September, which was actually perfect because the nights were still quite cold, but the days weren't too hot. So shoulder seasons, I would say, spring, autumn are the best times to go. I think in the summer, it's just much too hot in
brutally,
the day.
Brutally hot. Mm. Tell us more about a bit about the amphitheatre. What's this?
Well, you have to climb up some crazy arrangement of steps and platforms to actually get into it, because obviously it was carved by water. Mm-hmm. So you have to climb up all these ladders. They're actually arranged so that they're designed so that they lift away from the rock in the event of flooding, which is incredibly clever. And then they can just rescue them from downstream wherever they've got to and stick them back on the rock after floods, which is very clever. The amphitheatre is actually a really sacred site. So I think some guides tell people to test the echo, but I spoke to a traditional custodian who really encouraged people not to do that because it was a sacred site where spirit men did their business. So it's best to sort of behave with a bit of respect, I think.
Okay, so what is so it's a giant carved out rock formation.
That's it, exactly. So it's a sort of big grassy area that's completely surrounded by rocks. It's quite narrow. It isn't. Right. I don't know if amphitheatre is really the best word.
Right.
It's just a kind of a chasm in the rock, and it's cool and damp and mossy. There are sort of logs that have fallen in from 60 meters above. You wouldn't want to be there when one of those fell down.
Where can you, given that it's a 4 or 5 hour drive from Rockhampton, where do you stay?
Well, you can stay, there are various places to stay near the visitor's centre. So they're sort of commercial operations. You can sort of safari tents and huts, you know, right up to the slightly more glamorous end.
Okay, so, and tell us about the accommodation. Did you get a look at it? Is it expensive? Or?
There are a couple of options. And yeah, they just range from, you know, quite basic.
Quite basic motel tent. Type things.
Yeah, well, more like permanent tents, really.
Oh, okay.
Which is great. It's fun. It's part of the adventure. But I think a lot of people actually take their own RVs out there. A lot of the tourists
and
there.
And stay there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of the tourists there are kind of grey nomads because it does take a while to get there. So you need to have time on your hands. So a lot of people have their own accommodation in their big rigs.
Was it busy when you went?
Well, it sees about 65,000 visitors a year, but once you get past the entrance, no, it's not busy. It's quite calm and lovely.
They say there are something like 170 species of birds in the park.
Yes, there are.
What other animals do you see?
Wow, well, you do get to see platypus. We were lucky. I think a lot of people get to see platypus at the right time of day, dusk or dawn.
Did you see them?
Yes, we did. We were so lucky.
They're quite hard to see, actually.
They're hard to see, yeah. They're hard to see. There's also rufous bettongs. There's lots of gliders. 5 of the 6 species of glider that Australia has are in the gorge. So you're almost guaranteed to see them in the night, and you can certainly hear them. They're pretty loud.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Reading your account of the park, it sounds very pristine. And indeed, sacred in lots of ways, with its indigenous significance. You do wonder whether we should be talking about it, do we?
Almost. Well, it wasn't something that I knew about, actually, considering that it's called one of the Great Walks of Australia. It wasn't anything that I knew about. But yeah, as I say, it does see 65,000 visitors a year. So a lot of people have managed to find out about it and visit it.
There are some things that travellers should not do, shouldn't they? Like what?
Well, you can't swim in, I think you can swim in some parts of the river, but obviously they're quite careful with sunscreen and bug spray and everything. They really don't want to pollute the river. So certainly there's quite, moss garden on a hot day can be pretty tempting, but they really encourage you not to swim there.
Is that right? Why don't they want you to swim?
To keep the water pure and pristine, because obviously our sweat, our moisturiser, our sunscreen, our bug spray, everything can actually pollute the water and just flow downstream.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
So no swimming. Yeah. And you just got to be careful where you camp, obviously. You're supposed to camp in the designated campsites.
That'd be okay, I presume. Apart from the second day, what's the rest of the days on the big walk like?
Those are a bit less challenging on the legs. That's mainly walking through the grasslands. It's actually surprisingly easy to get lost sometimes because some of the trail markers have been burned out from bushfires. And there are stray cattle. So, yeah, it's not quite as pristine as it might be. There are cattle stations around and sometimes, obviously, cattle get out. So what you think is the path might actually just be a cow wandering around before you a few days ago.
I guess, like all parks, it's got conservation challenges, has it?
It does. It does.
What are
they? Well, mainly that, feral animals, stray cattle and feral animals. So there are wild horses, I believe, and wild pigs. We did see quite a lot of evidence of wild pigs, but I just think, you know, there's only so many rangers and there's only so many hours in the day, so they work pretty hard, but there's only so much they can do.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's Carnarvon Gorge National Park in central Queensland. It's basically a go-to and go-away from place, is it? Mm. You wouldn't include, would you include it on the way to place to somewhere?
We just went there and then came away. So I think it's more of a, yeah.
But it is regarded, isn't it? Always one of the great walks if you're fit and able.
Yes.
You should do it.
One of the amazing walks, one of the many amazing walks that Australia has to do.
Mm. All right. Hannah, great to talk. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.